CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Japan, the 20th century, the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, given the credit for the Japanese miracle in the 20th century. What do we learn from the Japanese miracle that failed that explains the Chinese miracle that's failing? I welcome Veronique de Régie of the Mercatus Center, writing most recently at the Creators Syndicate. That was then Japan. This is now China. Veronique, a very good evening to you. The Ministry of International Trade and Industry was given all the credit. Did it deserve it?
Good evening, John. No, I don't think it deserves it. If you actually look at the period where Japan was growing after the war and until, you know, just very, very strongly until the end of the 70s and then really stopped growing at the beginning of the 90s or really at much lower rates, what you see is what really made a big, big difference compared to the scale of the government intervention was the private sector and the free market. At the time, Japan had a relatively low debt burden, relatively low spending as a share of GDP, relatively overall taxes. And post-war, Japanese, because of cultural reason, but also because of government incentives, were enormous savers. And as a result, when you look at the Japanese economy and the numbers, one of the things that you saw is the massive, massive investment done by the private sector. Done by the private sector at the time, and especially when you compare the scale of the investment in the investment in Japan by the private sector compared to the government, it was really minor. And if anything, to the extent that the government interfered into the economy, and they certainly tried for sure, they supported they identified four sectors. And they got, you know, preferential government loans. It's just very unclear that these industries brought anything to the table in terms of powerful growth, or that these investments were profitable. And there are several instances where the industrial policy were total failures. And thank God that some of the industries just refused to do what the industrial policy command wanted them to do.
I learned from you that the Ministry of International Trade and Industry's brilliant idea was to put together Honda and Toyota, destroying two of the great successes of the Japanese in the 20th century. Now we come to China, because China has its own version of top-down command economy. It ordered solar panels and it took away the world's market. It dominated it. It ordered vehicles and it took away the world's market. It's dominating and elbowed out all the other automobile companies. It's now ordering EVs and it means to dominate it. However, China's in trouble. Why?
Well, China's in trouble because so when China grew, and I think you and I have talked about it, Ronald Coase and Ning Yang wrote a fantastic book called When China Became Capitalist that actually trace the evolution of China's economy into a semi-free market, but certainly much more liberalized economy than it was between, you know, the 1990 and 2000, and how effective and productive it was. And so it grew just quite dramatically. And since then, since 2012, unfortunately, the command economy has come back, at least in some sectors like the ones you've explained. But the thing that happens when the government decides to favor and to a particular industry and to shift a lot of the subsidies and try to incentivize capital to go towards those industries, what it does is like it actually takes a lot of capital and growth away from the other industries. So what we see is the stuff that's growing, but we're not seeing the things that actually is declining. And China also, what China did is like they overbuilt like crazy. I read this number the other day that considering the amount of housing surplus that they have of empty houses and apartment and apartment buildings, entire building, they have enough for demand for 7 years. So because a lot of the Chinese economy is top down, or at least for some industries and some sector, what effectively it does is like they're investing and building, but they're not using the free market and the price signal to actually understand whether there's a demand for this. And as a result, they are just basically wasting away, and they're now, after the COVID pandemic and their response, they're slowing down. Their demographic is really pretty terrible. Their youth unemployment is super high. They have a housing crisis, and their debt is really high. And so they're slowing down, and they're basically paying the price that a lot of other, you know, countries that have experienced industrial policy have gone through before. And we Americans should know better.
Can we apply these lessons to what we're seeing right now, which is the Biden administration's commitment to green, subsidizing electric vehicles, subsidizing everything to do with green, including net zero? Is that putting us in the danger of the similar troubles ahead?
Well, it's certainly creating all sorts of distortions in the economy. We're spending a lot of money, especially to give tax credit and advantages to a lot of companies that are already doing that stuff, that, you know, that they're already investing and producing the green products that the administration wants. So it's just basically lifting their bottom line at the expense of future taxpayers and current taxpayers. And thankfully, we are not in the state that Japan was, or certainly not China for sure, because we still have a fair amount of our economy that remains free. But we run a risk to distort our economy so much that our growth is going to suffer. And that's not a good thing, because our economic growth in the last 20 years has not been to the level that it was, you know, post-war, post-Second World War until the years 2000. And so we can't afford to see our growth slow down much more than it has.
Veronique Duvergier of the Mercatus Center, looking at Japan in the 20th century, at China in the 21st, and looking at small version America in the latter part of the 21st. Subsidies and command economies are not as prosperous as ones that are free. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.